Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, there we go.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, let you, and you, let us exalt the wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am so glad that you joined me on today, and I want to say I welcome each and every one of you on today at home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. And on today, I am so blessed to have a beautiful guest with me on today, Evangelist Janice Davis, who is the founder of the Janice Davis Ministry. And I would like to just welcome her on today, but before we bring her on, we're going to read her wonderful bio that she has. This great woman of God has been doing some great things, and God has been greatly blessing her. And her bio is such as this. Janice M. Davis is a licensed ordained minister through the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, there in April 2010, by her father, Bishop Nathaniel J. Davis, Senior, the pastor of Bethel Christian Church in Seattle, Washington. She grew up in the church and has been ministering as an evangelist for over 20 years. She has some great legacy of family preachers, such as the late Curtis Moore, which is a her great-great-grandfather, the late Elder Paul Moore, who's her great-uncle, and the late Bishop Benjamin T. Moore, Sr., who is her great-uncle as well. Also, Bishop Charles Beeler, who is her grandfather, who is now 100 years old as of February 2012, and then the late evangelist Ricola E. Davis, who is her grandmother, and Elder Paul Moore Jr., cousin, and Bishop Nathaniel J. Davis and Dr. Eddie B. Davis Sr. is her pastor, along with Suffolkian Bishop Charlotte L. Beeler Petty, who is her aunt, and Suffolkian Bishop Davis Thomas E. Davis, who is her brother. Now, the mantle has been placed on Janice to preach the word of God, and her ministry has reached men and women, youth, children, business executives, unemployed, the wealthy, and the impoverished, and the poverty-stricken, and of all ethnicities. And she really has the voice for the 21st century. One of the things that the Lord has blessed Evangelist Janice to do is she was a graduate from the Art Institute of Seattle here in Seattle, Washington, in music and video business. And also she is a member of the AAC, which is the American Association of Christian Counselors. And she received a certificate or certification in Christian counseling from the Board of Directors at Liberty University. And she is presently a senior student at Liberty University to receive her bachelor's degree of science degree in psychology in 2013, which is coming up really great soon. Also, she is also a national gospel recording artist, in which her CD has been number one for 13 weeks here in the Pacific Northwest District area. And she was also a frequent guest artist on the Seattle TBN Praise the Lord television show. Evangelist Davis also, she has co-pastored the Radical Christian Church Center Church for 6 years in Humble, Texas, from 2005 to 2011. And she also received a scholarship funding in 2010 from President Barack Obama to receive her child care director license in Texas. She also then found and built the Archangel Academy Child Care Center in the Humble, Texas as well, which has an enrollment of more than 100 children. She's also is the founder of the Women of Wealth based in Houston, Texas, and is now going on its third year of the great success to empower women that they are royalty and wealthy in their gifts and talents of God. And then also the third annual Women of Wealth will be held in June, actually should have been held in June 2010. And so without any further ado, she has such a profound resume. I'm going to go ahead and just introduce this great woman of God to our radio land on today. Welcome aboard, Evangelist Davis. God bless you.
Well, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the radio show this morning. I'm just sitting back and listening to you read the information about me, and I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
But I'm just truly blessed, and especially when you were reading the names, you know, my uncles and everybody almost got a little overwhelmed because of the responsibility and the work that my uncles and everyone have done, that I found myself in this place, you know, spreading the word of God, in which, you know, I never thought I would be doing.
Yes.
You know, like Dr. Orms, God calls you, you know, there's really nothing you can do about it. You can't run from it. You can't hide. God's going to give you a little time to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
God's going to bring you right back where he's called you to be.
Right. And that is such a wonderful, wonderful legacy as well, and things, and to be able to accept the mantle and moving forward in the call. And I tell you, it's just so many great things that you have done, even your family and this community in the Pacific Northwest area has made such a significant impact on the lives of multiple and multitudes of people and people, just the history itself and things. Yes, and so if we were to talk about something today that was really at your heart, which I know that you personally, as a woman of compassion and have a love for God and God's people and things, and if there was one thing that you would like to focus on and things on today to share with the radio land in regards to the ministry that God will have you and have called you and the mantle that is on your life, why don't you share some of that and some of the greatest joy of areas of ministry that you have?
Yes, absolutely, Dr. Orms. And first, I want to say to you that I appreciate you and appreciate all the work that you're doing and the consistency with, you know, spreading the word of God. I even went to California and preached at a church, and they said, oh, we know Dr. Helen Orms. She came and preached at our church.
Oh, wonderful.
So I just want to tell you that I appreciate you spreading the word of God, especially, you know, as women of God. It's a great responsibility for us, because a lot of times we get stuck in that gender of, you know, where a lot of churches don't accept women as preachers. And so we have that challenge at times, that, you know, that they won't accept women preachers. But, you know, when the anointing is there, when God has called you, God opens the doors for us. And we just have to be obedient to God and let him lead us and let him and God, you know, because God calls us, he doesn't call gender, he doesn't call ethnicity, he does not call your economic status. He calls people with the heart that will want to serve him, and that's what he looks at. You know, there's neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentile. God calls all of us, you know, to this kingdom that we will work. And when we talk about this ministry, I take it extremely serious. It's something that is extremely serious to me, because I know that we have great responsibility in serving God. I was saved at the age of 9, meaning that I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 9 years old at Bethel Christian Church in Seattle, Washington. And when I grew up, they talked a lot about hell. You know, you're going to hell, you're going to fire and brimstone if you don't serve God. And if you want to go to heaven, you need to be saved and you need to be baptized. And I kept hearing this message. And also all of my friends in the church, they were getting saved. You know, saved meaning that they were baptized and they got received the Holy Ghost. And so by them doing that, they were able to be a part in the church. And so this one night, you know, we were all with my friends, and they said, Janice, we want you to play for us. You know, they want to sing on this Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And so I was practicing with this group. I was singing with this group, and I was the piano player. And so they told me that Sunday, they said, Janice, you cannot sing because you're not saved.
Wow.
And I said, what? I said, what do you mean I can't sing? I've been practicing with you guys. I'm playing the piano. They said, you can't sing, but you can play the piano for us.
Wow.
You know, just, what if I'm not saved? Why do I get to play the piano?
Uh-huh.
Because y'all just need a piano player.
But, yeah.
But that convicted my heart, and I really wanted to sing, and I thought about that, and I saw all my friends, they were saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I saw an excitement of being saved. And so this one Sunday, I went down to the altar,
uh-huh.
And I went to my father, because he was sitting on the pulpit, and I just went up to him, and I just fell in his arms, and I was just crying, and I just said, Dad, I want to be saved. My dad is Bishop Nathaniel Davis.
Right, yes,
and,
yes.
And I just said, Dad, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And he said, why do you want to be saved? And I said, because I don't want to go to the devil. And,
yes.
But well, he gave some wisdom on that day. He said, Janice, and I think I was, I was about 8, 9. He said, I don't want you to get saved out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
mm-hmm.
I want you to get saved because you're making a full decision, conscious decision, to be saved. I don't want you to get saved because you're scared, but because you love God and this is really what you want to do. And I didn't get baptized that Sunday.
Oh, I see.
I got baptized that following Saturday at one of the councils in July.
Wow.
In July, the Pacific Northwest, in July, they always had the councils at the home church. My church was Bethel Christian Church. Councils are there every year, and so it was packed. And I went down to the altar that night, got baptized, and got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Wow, so, and then you was able to sing and just flow.
I was able to usher, I was able to play the piano.
Well, yes.
And, you know, and to tell you the truth, I really did. Once I got saved, I just went like fire. I was on almost every department in the church because I was like, wow, now I can really serve. And I think from that, it's never left me where I just continue to serve and I just can continue to bless. But in coming to the ministry part,
yes,
I think that's where ministry just really started serving in the church. And there was conviction in my heart. I was at my aunt's prayer day, and she had me to sing, and there was conviction in my heart, and the prophetic ministry had came forth, and I just began to prophesy, and I began to share
words
with everybody. And that day, that's when my father and my Aunt Charlotte had said, God has put the anointing on you to speak the word of God, and they began to mentor me. They began to put words, you know, go study the word, and I began to go forth, and from there, God just began to open doors. And when I go to minister, I simply just allow God to use me. I never let myself get in the way. I just say, God, what is it that you want me to do? And God just uses us in very unique ways. I remember this one time we had gone to Atlanta, Georgia, Dr.
Uh-huh.
We went to Atlanta, Georgia. My family, we had all gone there to minister. And the power of God came through. People began to get slayed in the spirit.
Wow.
They began to set free. People were being healed. I mean, the anointing of God just filled the place. And prophetic word came through about they were going to build their school and everything. And I didn't know that they were having problems. That's a nice thing. You go to a city and not know anything about what's going on, but God can give you divine revelation.
Right, yeah.
We didn't know that they're having problems with the funding for their school. And we prophesied and said, your school will be built by next year and so on. But as we were there that night, a man had came down, and he came down to the altar, and he said, can you pray for my wife? I don't know where she is. Can you pray for my wife?
Wow.
And so we began to pray for his wife. We began to call on God, and we sent angels out to where she was and rebuked the adversary and break the strongholds. And so we prayed, and he felt the anointing. And so the service had ended that night. So we were done. We were having refreshments. And Dr. Helen Orm, that's why I love serving God. That's why I love being obedient to him.
Yes.
Sitting there at the church, just fellowshipping. Church was over. In walks his wife.
What you say?
His wife walks in the door and began to just weep and cry. Her husband was still there. He was hanging around the church. She
wow.
ran to him and hugged him, and she said that she was in her car in the garage with the turn on, ready to commit suicide, but something stopped her and told her to come to church.
What you say, my Lord Jesus. My Isn't
so,
that like
yes,
God? My,
yes.
my.
So God is just an
Whoa.
Awesome God, and it's just fun to watch God work. There's another young lady in Detroit, Michigan, heard that we were coming there to minister, and she was in this wheelchair. She was 400 pounds, and we had been in Detroit, Michigan. This was with Dr. This was Bishop Ira Combs. We were with him in Jackson, Michigan.
Yes, uh-huh.
And we had been there before, and she had heard about the healing and the deliverance and people being saved, and so she heard we were coming, so she made sure she was there that Sunday. She told her family, get me to that church that Sunday. And
wow.
she was in this chair for 4 years, had not been able to walk. And so they wheeled her down to the altar, and she said, pray for me. And me, not knowing anything about her condition, I just laid my hands on her, began to pray for her. And when we laid our hands on her, her whole body just began to shake,
Uh-huh.
And now, mind you, she's a 400-pound woman. She's shook on out the chair. And the
wow.
brothers tried to catch her. It didn't work. And she slid on down out the chair onto the floor. And
wow.
so I said, let the Lord just work with her. And I could see God just touching her from her head to her feet. And after a while, the men went and picked her up and stood her up. And that lady walked and has been walking ever since.
My God, my Lord Jesus, my.
The lady
my
came
Lord
with
Jesus.
Her healing. Yeah, came for
Whoa,
her healing and received it. You know,
yes,
so,
yes.
so I'm just so excited for what God is doing. You
yes.
know, and with this, tomorrow we're going to be talking about prayer. I believe your prayer life has a lot to do with, you know, your faith. It has a lot to do with your relationship with Christ because,
yes.
you know, when you, like, if you have a best friend, you know, you talk to that best friend, you know, you develop a relationship with that best friend, and that relationship begins to grow. So same thing with Christ. He's your best friend. You talk to him and you
yes.
tell him, you know, about the things of God. And with that relationship, it grows. And one thing I like about the relationship with God
mm-hmm.
in prayer is that you begin to develop an ear that
yes.
when I'm praying and when you're talking, that you say, okay, God, I need you to talk to me. And I learned that from Suffragan Bishop Beeler. She said,
yes.
when you pray, you got to stop for a moment and let God talk to you. Have you ever
yes.
talked to your friend and you just did all the talking, and your friend never get a chance to talk?
Right,
you have a
right.
conversation. Like, I said, no. She said, you got to stop and let God talk to you. And so that's where I learned how to hear the voice of God, that in my prayer time I sit and I pray, and he gives me through the Holy Spirit the things to pray for.
Yeah,
as I'm in my closet, I'm praying, and God, say, pray for this person, pray for that person, or pray for this situation. I would begin to pray, and then I would stop, and then God would speak to me, and he would give me divine words. I remember one time, that's why I'm sure with you too, that in ministry, you just have to be sensitive to when God says move, when God says
yes.
go,
yes.
You have to go.
Yes.
There's this one night I had awakened out of my sleep, and the Lord had given me this name of this person to pray for, and I just began to pray. And this
mm-hmm.
was when I was just new and in the ministry. And I woke up, and the Lord gave me the name of this person to pray for, and I just began to intercede. And I just
yeah.
began to
yeah.
pray for them, began to pray. And I saw this person the next day, and I had said to them, I said, you know, the Lord had me praying for you last night. And they had said, yes, about that time I was taken to the emergency room because I had gotten extremely ill. And they said, but I'm healed and I'm fine.
Well, you know? Look at that.
And so that's why I've learned just those little things that God just says to your ears that you move on it. And God allows you to grow in that. And mm-hmm. that he said, okay, I'm going to test you in this. If you do this, okay, then I'm going to show you something else. And so even Dr. Helen Arms, I was in Killeen, Texas.
Right, yes.
I was in Killeen, Texas, and one thing about it, when I minister, the Holy Ghost gets a hold of me, and I just get to moving.
Yes.
Bishop Ellis, he got up there and said, Janice came to my church, and she walked out through the choir, said, walked out through my church. She was just gone. She ain't got no etiquette. She just gone.
Well, that's where the Holy Ghost flows.
Just get so excited about what God does what he's doing. There was a time I was in Killeen, Texas, and the Holy Spirit just moving. The prophetic word was just coming forth. And as I was ministering, the Holy Spirit had everybody look at the clock. I was ministering to this family, and the Holy Spirit told everybody, look at the clock, and the clock said about 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I said, look at the clock, and I told the mother, I said, God is working in behalf of your daughter who's incarcerated right now. The clock, he said, he's working it out right now, your daughter that is incarcerated. God is working it out, and you will see her very soon.
Yeah.
She began to praise God, and she just began to enjoy, the whole church just began to rejoice. And mind you, I didn't know anything about her family, didn't know anything about her daughter incarcerated. I was just speaking the holy word of God.
Yes.
And the next day, Dr. Helen Orms, they tell me the story that when we had everybody looking at that clock at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
That's when the security guards had came to her cell and said, you're getting out tonight.
What about Shanda?
Yes, and she said she thought she was being punked. She thought it was some joke. She was in her cells like, what? And she couldn't believe it. Security guard said, you're leaving now. Packed up her stuff, and that lady was released from prison.
My Lord Jesus. And
went home.
Yes, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow. That, you know, should we say it this way? Isn't he amazing?
Yes.
Isn't he amazing?
He is amazing.
I
love him. Yes, and I love him with all of my heart. And
yes.
I think my goal when I go to minister, is that they will sense the power of God.
Yeah.
They feel the power of God so that they will know, oh, my God, I can make it.
Yes.
They say, oh, my God, my situation is not as bad as I thought, but I know with God it is possible.
Yes.
People come into the service that they feel hopeless, that they will say, I now have hope.
Yes.
You know, those that don't know God will be in the presence of the ministry that they say, now I believe there is a God. I remember my brother, Nate, who has been incarcerated. He's been incarcerated for over 6 years.
My Lord Jesus.
Even though he's been incarcerated, he has not lost his faith in God.
Yeah.
He's witnessed to men. He's freed over 500 men in prison since he's been
in there.
And one of the one great stories that he said was, you know, there's a man that he was witnessing to, and he was saying, you know, you need to pray. You need to call on God. And he was witnessing to this man. He said, man, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. But a few months later, that man came to my brother and said, you know what? I didn't believe in God until I met you. And he said, now I believe there is a God.
Look at that. Look at God.
And that's how we want to live, that the atheist will come and say, yes, I now believe there is a God.
That there is a God. Yes.
Absolutely. And so I'm just so excited what God is doing, what he's about to do, even what he's about to do in the city of Seattle.
Yes.
And abroad, that God is calling his people. He's putting them into position. He's shifting and he's moving and he's calling and he's pulling and he's pushing and he's gathering his people for a great work. You know, because the devil has had reigned too long, you know, that people have been snatched, have been pulled.
Yes.
But God said, now I'm coming and I'm reigning and I'm positioning my people. I'm loosing my people.
Yes.
So that people will see that there is a God. Because even if we look in our world right now, it looks hopeless. But God
yes,
is bringing up people to show that there is hope. He's using the Dr. Helen Orms. He's using us that we can be able to show the world that he is alive, that he is well, and that we're living this with integrity. We're living it with respect. We're living it with love. And that's one thing, too, is that we have to show the love of God. Because I think that everything that we do, if it's not done in love, it's not of God. You know, and I think that so many churches have to redirect, you know, on how we're loving God's people, how we're treating God's people.
Yes.
It's not about manipulation. It's not about oppression. It's not about control. It's about the love of God. And when we learn how to serve with the love of God, just think how much of greater people we can be, you know, because we are kings. Children, you know, that we serve a God that has everything. We serve a God that has love, that has joy, that has peace, a God that will never let us down. And therefore, we have to live like that. We have to live with love.
That's
we have to
true.
Live with joy. We have to live with peace. If nobody has ever seen joy, I want them to see the joy of the Lord on me. If no one has ever seen peace, I want them to see me carry peace
now.
In the midst of a storm. If no one has ever seen salvation, I want them to look at my life and say, wow, look what God has done for you.
Yeah.
Even in my situation, it's like, wow, you're still standing? Wow, you still have joy. Yes, because I serve a God who can do anything. He can do the impossible. No matter how deep, dark the situation is, God can do anything. There's nothing impossible. And even in situations that we feel like, oh, my God, I need to just give up, just forget about it. You know, even in those situations, God is at his best. That he shows up and lets you realize, oh, wow, I can make it. Just think, I almost gave up yesterday, and look what God did for me today.
Yeah,
and I love that story. And I'm not taking up too much time, but that story about Jehoshaphat when the enemy against him.
Mm-hmm.
The enemies were coming against him, and they were surrounded, and they were outnumbered. And they were saying, oh, my God, we're going to die. And all the people, the children, the mothers, and they said, oh, my God, we know we're going to die. We're not going to make it. But the king had came to Jehoshaphat and said, go ahead and stand. He said, for on tomorrow you shall see me fight for you. On tomorrow, things will be better. On tomorrow, all you got to do is stand still, and you shall see the glory of God. And that's what God is doing, that we might look like that we're overtaken. It might look like that, you know, I can't make it. It might look like your bills are too high. It might look like, oh, my God, I've made so many mistakes. If anybody knew what I've gone through. But God is saying, stand still. Feel, for on tomorrow you shall see the glory of God. And one thing about it, in that scripture says, all you got to do is stand still. You mean all I got to do is stand and watch your glory fall on me?
All I
got to do is stand and see you bless me? All I got to do is stand and watch my enemies fall at my feet? All I got to do is stand, and God, you're going to fight for me. And that's the word of the Lord, to know that on tomorrow, God got
tomorrow
for us. Because sometimes today looks like it's over. Today, everything hell broke loose. But know that God is giving us a tomorrow. He told Jehoshaphat, stand, for on tomorrow you shall see your enemies fall at your feet. So I want to encourage everybody. And everybody, hold on. No matter how devastating it may be, hold on to your ministry. You women that are ministering, going different places, I want to encourage you, stand, and don't try and justify where I'm a woman. Don't ever do that. Stand in the authority of God and preach the word of God, because if God calls you, he's going to make the way. He's going to prepare the people, and he's going to allow his glory and his anointing to come forth, that they don't see gender, but that they will see the anointing of God. And that is what breaks the strongholds, and that is what breaks the tradition, and that is what breaks all the different things that hold people back from hearing the word of God. So as you can hear, I'm just so excited for what God is doing and what he's about to do. I'm excited about coming to minister at your church tomorrow.
We look forward to having you. And if you're in the region, come on over to Shekinah.
Yes.
Amen. But, you know, before we leave, at this point, I want you just to share something with us, if you can. If you could share with us about your Women of West. You could share with us a little bit about that. And then, why don't you just please do share that.
I would love to share that. God had put this in my spirit 3 years ago, Women of Wealth. And Women of Wealth, he gave me the definition of wealth. And it's women empowered, anointed, living testimonies of hope.
Yes.
And we've had our breakfasts in Texas. We've had them for the past 2 years, and they have been very successful. Each event, we've had over 100 women that have came and participated, and God's word came through, and we celebrate women that have come through different situations, like my Aunt Charlotte. She was healed of cancer. Women that have gone through really tragic situations, that they can share their testimony of what they've gone through to help other women that might be going through the same situation. And Dr. Helen Lawrence, a lot of times when we grew up in our church, people didn't share their stories. They would see people going through things, and they won't say, "Girl, I've been through that too."
Right,
you know,
exactly.
"Girl, you can make it. I was there too." You know, they didn't really do that. But this day and time, we want our Women of Wealth to be able to say, "Hey, I've been there, and this is what I've done." So you don't have to go through the same things that I've gone through. So our Women of Wealth, we plan on having our third annual Women of Wealth. It will be here in Seattle, Washington.
Wonderful.
I'm looking at the date, November 17th. I'm going to have Dr. Addie Davis, and it's actually going to be a panel. We're also going to have a Women of Wealth choir on that, I think it's the 15th, that Thursday, choir rehearsal, and that Friday night, a service in which I will be speaking that Friday night.
Wonderful.
And then Saturday we'll have breakfast, and it will be a panel discussion. So I'm working on my speakers now. I'm going to have some career people, my mother talking about, children in the ministry and as a first lady. And also going to have some medical persons that the women can ask them, medical questions or conditions they might be having. They'll get some answers there. It's going to be exciting, and I'm excited that it's going to be here for the first time in Seattle, Washington. And you don't want to miss it. Women of Wealth, and we're getting our website put together for Women of Wealth.
Uh-huh.
And so you'll be able to go there and register and be a part of it. It's exciting. This is my baby, Women of Wealth.
Good, wonderful. And I know it's going to be a fabulous and a wonderful, wonderful move right here in the Pacific Northwest.
Absolutely.
Where it's connected to the Texas, and how God is just doing great things. And, you know, Evangelist Janice, I am so glad. Yes. It's really just a tremendous blessing. You just come from just a wealth of great men and women and things of Zion that have done some great and wonderful work. And just to see you carrying the legacy and things, not only your entire family, it's just been just a blessing to Zion and the people of God and things and the multitude of people whom your life have touched and things. And I just commend you, and I thank God
thank
that you.
You
come on the show today and just sharing
thank
all of the wonderful things. And I'm looking for tomorrow, amen.
Right.
And think that word, tomorrow, I'm looking for God to do something on tomorrow, amen.
Oh,
amen. Amen. And I'm telling Radio Land, you better expect tomorrow, amen.
Right.
Amen. Because the Bible said, according to your own earnest expectation, he said, so be it unto you. And guess what? I'm expecting tomorrow, amen.
Amen.
And literally, you're going to be with us on tomorrow, amen.
Yes.
So I'm looking for double now.
Absolutely. Just ready.
And I want to say I do thank God for you, and
thank
God for what he's doing in and through your life and your testimony, that, you know, all that God has allowed you to walk through to be able to touch and to minister even in with greater conviction and things to the body of Christ. And I'm excited for you and what God is doing in this season. You know, yesterday is over with. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm here with my mom, and she says, praise the Lord.
Give her, tell Dr. Eddie Davis, I said, praise the Lord, and we send a shout-out to her, a great woman of God, a great woman of God.
Is.
That's who I'm going to bring on to the show, too,
and
things just to share with the things that she has done. I tell you,
I tell you,
the Pacific Northwest, if I may say it, and thing I believe is a hidden secret of God, that God is getting ready to move in this region in a profound way. I tell you, the best is still yet. It's coming. It's emerging and unfolding. Great men and women of God that God has hidden on this side of the mountain, that God is getting ready to send them and shoot them out like arrows and things throughout the region and throughout
this
world as we take God to the places where he wants to go. And I want to say I really do appreciate you. You're the seventh child of 13 children. And I tell you, that's profound. And I tell you, when we bring on Dr. Davis, it's going to be a profound words of wisdom, encouragement, and another preacher woman. Amen, amen. But we want to say, is there a way that people, if they would like to contact you, to get in contact with you, to come and speak to the Body of Christ or their women's program, why don't you share with them some of the things that you're doing and things and how in which they can contact you? Okay.
They can contact me. My website is being built. It's going to be launched as of Friday, next Friday. And it's janicedavis.org. They can go on there. And then I'm also on Facebook, you know, Janice Davis. You can find me there. And then you can also contact me. My number is 206-226-8626. This is a number that we have right now that you can contact me if you want me to come to a youth teen service, women, or your general assembly. God has allowed us to minister to all vast of people, so I'm available.
Amen. And again, Evangelist Davis, thank you so, so much for being
thank
so gracious
you.
To come on today.
Me.
Thank the Lord. Thank
and
the Lord.
We love you so much. We love you. I love your children.
Oh,
they're
thank
beautiful.
You. Oh,
and
thank you.
And you're just
so
an
much.
Awesome woman of God, and I appreciate thank what you're doing.
Thank
and,
the Lord. Our
God. And that God will just continue to strengthen you and bless you
thank
abundantly.
You. Thank you so much. I really do receive that and appreciate that.
Yes.
And please give my greetings to Bishop and give my greetings to Dr. Davis and Suffolk Bishop Petty and the entire family.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank
I
you.
Love them. Love you.
Thank you. And most of them will be with us tomorrow, too.
Okay, wonderful.
They're going to come with me tomorrow.
Amen. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I tell you, Radio Land, if you're going to be in the Seattle, Renton, Tacoma area, Linwood area, I encourage you to come out and be with us. It's Shekinah Glory Tabernacle, 7:30 tomorrow night. Evangelist Janice Davis is going to be our revivalist, going to be speaking. And we just going to say, Lord, have your way.
Yes.
Amen.
Woo!
On the hill. Amen.
Right.
Up on this hill. Have your way, God. And be that beacon. Let it be a fire on the building. Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Shekinah glory. Let the glory fall, Lord. We're looking for the glory. Amen. Amen. Well, we do again thank you for being with us on today. And I just pray that as you just continue to do the work of the Lord our God and continue to flow up under that anointing that God have upon your heart. But the other thing that I want to say, just your sweet, sweet spirit and your the joy that you talked about and things is just so exudes from you. And I just say, keep up the great and the wonderful work of the Lord our God. This is our season, amen, to do the work and the will of the Lord for him to be released here in the earthly realm to do what he wants to do for this season in this time. and for his people. Amen. So you be encouraged. And Radio Land, I want to say I thank God for each and every one of you that have joined me on today. And I pray that if you can give Evangelist Janice David a call, I know your ministry will be greatly, greatly blessed. Mm-hmm. And the people of God will be edified, build up, healing, and the prophetic word will flow forth out of her belly. And I encourage you to give her a call or contact her on Facebook, like she said, or even on her website, janicedavis.org. Amen. I know that you will be greatly, greatly blessed. And then the Pacific Northwest area, if you're here in November, please come out to the Women of Wealth. You'll be greatly, greatly blessed. I know your life will be changed. Bring the lame, bring those that have a need in their life. God will greatly touch them. There is a word, will be a word in the house for them that entire weekend. And so in my conclusion on today, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you, according to Matthew 7:7. I tell you, it has been a pleasure to be with you on today, and I look forward to being with you again on next week. And I come to tell you, and I pray that there will be a no-sorrow blessing that will come to your house today, that God will tremendously bless you and undergird you and fortify you and meet every one of your needs is my prayer for you on today. And so until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.